going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. There's no need to turn to it. I'm going just to add one scripture from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. I'm going to read from verse 9. And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And here's the particular phrase: that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. I want to look at the subject of knowing the reality of the resurrection. Knowing the reality of the resurrection. And in a sense, my message to you this morning, to us all, is very, very straightforward. And it's based on that verse 17, where Paul prays that we may know him. That we may know him. Now, friends, he is writing to those who already knew the Lord. So in what sense was Paul praying that God would help them to know him? Well, the word in the original language, the Greek, for knowledge here, it means a full knowledge, a full acquaintance, a full recognition of something. It includes two things. First of all, a better acquaintance of something already known. So as we'll look at in a minute, these Ephesians already knew something of the work of God in their lives. But now Paul was saying, I pray that God would help you to be better acquainted with this, to come into the full experience of this for yourself. And the second sort of meaning in this word knowledge is one of participation. So it's not just simply mentally appreciating facts. I'm not going to talk to you this morning about the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There are plenty of others who've done that. There are books that you can read. The evidence is clear. The resurrection of Christ from the dead was not a mystical event that took place all those years ago. It was a factual. It happened. It was a bodily resurrection. It was not, as one former Bishop of Durham called it, a conjuring trick with bones. God have mercy on him. It's not that kind of mental appreciation, though there is a place, of course, a right place. We need to understand that. Nor is it, nor is Paul saying here that he's praying that they will come to know the Lord for a start, at the beginning of their Christian lives. No, these are people who already know the Lord. So he's really praying that that God will give them a participation, a greater sharing in the Lord. This is a unity between the one who is known and the one who is doing the knowing. And friends, it's that sort of knowledge that the Lord is wanting us to have, where we are united with him, where we participate in him. If you like, where the reality of the resurrection of the dead becomes ours in experience. And don't we all need to know that? And that's what we're looking at. So this is what the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, is praying. Well, how are we going to know the reality of the resurrection from the dead in our lives? Well, Paul says in verse 17, and this is all really by way of introduction, he says, I will pray that the God of our Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him. Friends, it is only the Lord who can give you this reality. But the marvellous thing is that he wants to do it. And that not only the Apostle Paul, but the Son of God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is now sitting at the right hand of the Father and praying for every one of us. Isn't that good news? This is what he wants. So, friends, how do we know the reality? You ask him. And as you're sitting there, can I ask you, how much do you know the Lord? And this is really essentially my challenge. This is the challenge I believe that God wants to bring to us. How much do you know the reality of the resurrection from the dead in your life? And for us, for some of us, perhaps not at all. Others of us just started. Others of us maybe a little bit more. But there's always more to go. There's always more to know. And here's Paul saying, I'm praying for you Ephesian Christians. I'm praying for you Bethelites. The same thing, really. Pray for you saints of God, that you will know these things. I'm praying, therefore, that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Friends, ask the Lord to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know these things. Don't just sit there and think, yes, I've grazed here before, to use that little wonderful picture that Dan brought. Now ask the Lord that the grass would grow again, that it will become fresh for you. So ask him. That is essential. If you ask him and allow the Lord to speak to you and to give you this wisdom, he will make the reality of the resurrection real. That doesn't make sense, but you know what I'm talking about, in your lives. And then in verse 18 it says that he says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know. And forgive the detail a little bit more, but there's a different word, different sense of the meaning of the word know there. And it's very much linked to the matter of seeing. Hence, the need for us to have our eyes open. This is what happened on the day of resurrection. The Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, appeared to the disciples, to two on the road to Emmaus, and he opened their understanding. The reality of the resurrection can be yours, because, and the proof of that is that your understanding can be opened. And it's not just a question of mentally appreciating a fact, it's seeing it for yourself. And this is what Paul's saying, that he wants you to see these things for yourself. This is a knowledge that comes by perception. Right, well, I'm going to look at, well, if we get through them all, four things really. How can I know the reality of the resurrection, apart from asking the Lord? Are there any principles involved? The answer is yes. And the first one is there in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, God has made us alive together with Christ. God, who's rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Friends, this is where it all starts. You can know the reality of the resurrection of Christ from the dead in your life when you know what it is to be made alive together with Christ. We heard about it earlier on in the first letter of Peter, where Peter says that through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, each one of you has been born again to a living hope. And you see that the fact is that naturally we are dead in sins. Because of our sinful nature, which leads to the outworking of sinful deeds, sinful attitudes, evil thoughts, evil reasonings, all the things, and only God knows the evil, really, the wickedness that is latent in the human heart. And we may put on a very nice face to everybody else, don't we? Particularly in this part of the world. But the reality is, God sees our hearts, and he sees that we're dead in our sins. Friends, unless the Lord gives you spiritual life, you are without hope and you are without God. But the good news of the resurrection is that just as the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you can receive new life as well. God can look at you and me in my sin and give us new life. He can make us alive together with Christ. That is where the reality of the resurrection can begin in your life. And so I want to ask you, do you know the Lord like that? Have you been born from above? Have you received that new life? This is what really Daniel was bringing to us and challenging us about at the very end. It's to do really with our being reconciled to God. It's to do with our initially coming to know the Lord for ourselves. And it's gloriously possible. The Roman letter talks about us receiving the Spirit of life. And this is where it starts. Naturally, we are dead in trespasses and sins, but we have a spirit in us, that communicates with God. When the Holy Spirit comes into us and gives us life, we know the Lord. That's where it starts. I trust that you know the Lord like that. That you know that you have been made alive together with Christ. When we know the Lord like that, there is freedom from judgment. We're free. We've passed from death to life. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that you may know thee, who alone are truly God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." If you have that life, you have passed from death to life. You do not come under judgment. Praise the Lord. Well, that's where it starts. Is that all? No, it isn't. How do we know the reality of the resurrection? Well, I've actually jumped. Would you just look at Ephesians 1, please? I should have gone on. Because Paul prays three things that these Ephesians would know. He prays, first of all, that they would know what is the hope of his calling. Secondly, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then thirdly, and this is what we're looking at, and each of these three statements really is a sermon and a half in itself. But we're just going to look at this third one. This is what we've begun to do. What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? And this is what the apostle is praying for, that we would know this exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. This power, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead. This is where it starts. So the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, Paul is saying, can be at work in every one of us. And the question is therefore, how is this to happen? It begins when we are made alive with Christ and the Holy Spirit comes into us. But that is not all. It goes on. We need to learn to live according to the law of the Spirit of life. You see, there are principles by which we used to live which led to death, which lead to death, our sin. The principle is that when temptation comes into our minds, we think it's rather nice, we give into it, and sin becomes a reality. It's called the law of sin and death. And the Roman letter, Romans chapter 8, at the beginning of the chapter from which I've already quoted, says that because of the resurrection, we have been free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Friends, knowing the reality of the resurrection must mean that we are to know and have to know the reality of being crucified with Christ. We have to say no to that law of sin and death. And this is, if you like, where, as the phrase is, the rubber hits the road. In Ephesians 2, it says we have been quickened with him. And it says we have been raised with him. This is a fact. We have been raised together with Christ. The thing is, that is theologically, if you like, what has happened. That is what God has done. As Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, so you and I have been raised in him. How do we know the reality of that resurrection power? We have to learn to die. There is no resurrection without death. There is no knowing the reality of that resurrection power without a willingness to go that same path of death. And so when Paul said, as Gisela mentioned in the time of worship, as she quoted it, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in you. Who is living in your body this morning? That's the question. Is it you? Are you the one who holds the ropes, the steering wheel? Are you the one who steers the ship? Are you the one who makes the decisions? This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to live. Never mind if it hurts anybody else, but this is what pleases me. This is what I'm going to do. Friends, if you live like that, that is the law of sin and death. No, the law of the Spirit of life says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In that little verse in Philippians 3, Paul says exactly the same thing. He says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable to his death, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. So we can't know the reality of the resurrection without knowing the fellowship of his sufferings and being conformed to his death. So we need to learn to be willing to suffer. We need to learn to be willing to die. I forget who it was, but somebody said, I think absolutely rightly on one occasion, it is not living the Christian life that is a problem. I was to ask you, for example, how many of you find living the Christian life really difficult? I wonder how many hands would go up. It's not living the Christian life that's the problem. The problem is dying. Because if you're dead, that verse says, Christ lives in me. How are we to be conformed to his death? How are we to be identified to his death? Well, this is why the Lord puts us in those difficult situations. We need to learn to be dead to ambition. We need to learn to be dead to self-pleasing. We need to learn to be dead to temptation. We need to learn to be dead as far as a concern for our reputation is concerned, to name just but a few examples. How dead are you? If you want to know the reality of the resurrection of Christ in your life, you need to know the reality of the working of his death, the principle of being crucified with Christ, identified with him. And friends, this is what Paul prays for. He says, I want you to know this. I want your eyes to be open. I want you to see that you have been identified with him, that this is the route you can go. I want you to see that it is an absolute privilege for you to take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus. Only then will you know the reality of that resurrection power. Well, that's the second thing. But it doesn't stop there. Paul says this working of the strength of his might is also, this power which was brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead, was also the same power that seated him in at his right hand in heavenly places. So not just being raised from the dead, but exalting him. And Ephesians 2, verse 7, says we've been identified with him in that way too. It says in verse 6, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. That's where it starts. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is the fact of it. The same power that has raised Jesus Christ up from the dead has made you not only been alive from the dead, but also raised you up to be seated with him. Well, that scripture at the end of chapter 1 says it's seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. Friends, this is tremendous. What this is saying is that we can know the reality of the resurrection by experiencing his victory in our lives. You too can be above all principality and power, and every name that is named. Friends, this is intensely practical. It's saying that whatever threatens to overcome you, you're above it. That's the fact of it. And if you say, I don't feel as if I am, well, believe what the Lord says about it. And friends, this is why the Lord allows the difficulties to come in. It's in order to get us to see that naturally, though things may seem impossible, but the Lord is greater than than what is humanly impossible. Because he's the God of the impossible. Friends, he is the one who is far above all rule and all authority. He's the one who's above all principality. That word there is to do with, it means those spiritual rulers over areas and over countries. You may be particularly depressed. I don't know whether you are. I would have every sympathy with you if you were particularly depressed with what is happening with our own country. There seems to be an increase of evil in all sorts of ways. But friends, we're above all principality. These things do not need to depress us. Discourage, dispirit, concern, possibly, but not depress. We're above those things. Friends, is it tremendous? I mean, think of the number of believers. I mean, in the communist era, for example, those who confronted the powers of darkness that were at work through the communist authorities. They were having to oppose the rulers of the darkness in that country. But they were above those things. And therefore they could do it with confidence. They could do it with faith. And many of them, of course, did it with victory. Hallelujah. Friends, you and I can know that victory. Far above all rule and all authority. Who has the authority in your circumstances? Is it the doctor? Is it the boss? Is it the bank manager? Who's holding the purse strings? I mean, who's in control? Oh, friends, if you're in Christ, you're above every authority. He is the one who's in control. Such is the greatness of his power. And so he's saying, because the Lord Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, you can know his authority in your life. You can know that you're above these things. Just as death could not hold the Lord Jesus, whatever you are going through need not hold you either. There is a way for us to overcome. There is a way for us to know his victory and for us to be free from defeat and from bondage. And in Ephesians 6, when it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, we are wrestling with these things, against these things. We're wrestling against authorities and powers and dominions, etc. And every name that is named, we're wrestling against these things. But we do so from a position of victory. That little book from Watchman Nee marvellously sort of epitomised the whole principle here. Sit, walk, stand. And we can stand because we know where we're sitting. Do you know where you're sitting? Somebody agrees with me anyway. Sorry about the shock. Don't know what I did, but anyway. So, I'll repeat the question. Do you know where you're sitting? Sorry about those who are sitting here. nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither death, nor life, nor principality, nor power. None of these things can ever separate us from the love of God. Praise the Lord. And of course this includes that we can all know the power of the Holy Spirit. It's because of the ascension of the Lord that the power of the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon us. And lastly, absolutely a bit more briefly, this power not only raised him from the dead, not only seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, and not only in this age and also in the one to come, but also he's put everything under his feet and given him as head over all things to the church. What it's saying is that the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ can be given to you, can be given to us, I should say. I'm going to come on to the us in a minute. But friends, it means that you and I are so identified with him, so united with him, that we can know his authority in our lives. Praise the Lord. We learn the reality of the resurrection by learning to appropriate his authority. Remembering that that is not automatic, as the Lord Jesus Christ lived his life doing nothing from himself but what he saw the Father do, as we live the same way, God can give us his authority. Praise the Lord. But of course, it doesn't say to me or to you, it says to his body, head over all things, to the church. We can know the reality of the resurrection as we see that we are members of a body. I.e., we can't actually know fully the reality of the resurrection in isolation. We do it together as part of the body of Christ. Everything is under his feet. This picture of the head and the body, the Lord is the head and we are the body. Where are the feet? It's with us. We're the feet and the Lord has put everything under his feet. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the thing is we don't see everything under his feet. That's the problem. But the thing is the Lord can give us his authority to put everything under our feet. Friends, this is the tremendous calling of the church. To be those who learn to rule with Christ. And that can only come about as we wait on him, as we seek him in prayer. Until we know what he wants to do, and then we can be those who pray, your will be done, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And through the church can go something of a decree of the will of God, so that that headship over all things can be seen in reality. And it's a great sorrow and a great sadness that so often that doesn't happen. His body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Friends, do you see these things? Do you see these things? How much do you know them? Has your journey begun? Do you know the reality of the resurrection by the fact that you've been born again? Do you know the reality of the resurrection by learning to die daily in so that you can know the reality of that power? You're learning to overcome sin? Are you learning that in him you are completely safe, you're completely secure, nothing can separate you from his love? You're seated with him above everything. Are you learning that way of victory? And are you learning his authority? Are you seeing that this is where the fullness of Christ is in the body of Christ? But Paul prays that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know these things. Come into a full knowledge and a full experience of them. Friends, let's go on in our knowledge of the Lord and really look to the Lord that the reality of the power of the resurrection of Christ from the dead would be seen in every one of us. Shall we pray, please?